Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life and true wisdom from above. Our sermon texts again are the words from the epistle reading from Ephesians 5, where Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So far our text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that by them you would place us and draw us on that path of wisdom to yourself in heaven. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I used to teach in college before I came here to our Savior. I taught, among other things, introductory physics. And that's always a hard class because in that class, students are being introduced to all the basic ideas that are used in science and engineering. The class met 5 days a week, and that meant that the students were to be putting in between 10 and 15 hours a week on their studies just for that particular class. So it's a tough class. But one of the things that I found is that many 18 to 20-year-old students have trouble budgeting time and focusing on the material. For some, social media is an irresistible lure and it eats up their time. In fact, I was reading in Entrepreneurs magazine this past month, they concluded a research survey and found that the average teenager spends about 9 hours a day looking at social media one way or another. Think about that. That's almost every waking moment. For others who are less socially inclined, there's video games that eat up the time. For many students, 6 hours a week, which is the average, it can go a lot higher than that. Think of how expensive those hours are when you're paying to be in college, paying for every moment that you're there. Now, don't misunderstand me. Social media is a great tool, and it certainly has its place. I wouldn't get to see my grandchildren near as often if it weren't for Facebook. And video games can make for great relaxation sometimes, but when they become a waste of valuable time, it's not just a bad thing. Wasting time is not wise. In fact, wasting time is sinful. God put us on earth and he gave us time to use, and if we use the time that we've been given just for ourselves instead of for the purpose that God gave us that time for, well, then we've made ourselves masters over our lives and our time here on earth, and God is second place. There's another name for that. That's idolatry. Now, in Paul's day, obviously, social media wasn't the big deal that it is today, and video games hadn't been invented yet. So Paul focuses his readers on something that wasted a lot of time back in those days, and it was drunkenness. I think we have a lot easier time recognizing drunkenness as sinful because we all know how much damage results when people have been drinking too much. But I'm also guessing that most of you know more than a few alcoholics who are pretty functional people. Maybe even some of you know a drunk that goes to the sheriff's office every night to lock himself in the cell. It's Mayberry, you know. So, but anyway, whether drunkenness results in hurting people or not, it is a waste of time, and that's really Paul's point. Drunkenness is a clear example of sinful time wasting. It's chasing after an escape from real life instead of engaging the world as God would have us do. It's just an example of the wisdomless, worldly wastes of time that are out there. But wisdom's not just thinking and working for long-term goals instead of short-term pleasure. The wisdomless, worldly waste of time that follows from greed is another example. The chasing after the love of money and covetous desires for stuff. Or the chasing after the lust of the flesh, or the chasing of spiteful words with vengeful words, or the chasing after of glory and honor, or the chasing after even just that feeling of accomplishment, or the chasing after the sense of stability in this life. All these really are wisdomless, worldly wastes of time. There's a reason that God commands us not to be caught up in these things, not to hang our hopes on these things. They all, sooner or later, turn into idolatry. When we chase after something else other than God and love something else more than God, it is idolatry. And this is the ironic twist on it all. All of these things appear to be, to some extent, wise in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of sinful man. This world thinks that it's productive to love and chase after wealth, for example. But you know where that ends. It ends in the grave. Worse yet, for some, it ends in hell. The same is true for those other worldly, wisdomless wastes of time. Doesn't Jesus say, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" But the world considers the wise way to walk through this life unproductive, boring, even foolish. So heavenly minded that it's of no earthly good. But you know that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. You have experienced God's foolishness. You have seen him in action in the gospel, where he's caused his foolishness to be written down for our learning. Paul calls the gospel foolish to those who are perishing, but what joyous wisdom it truly is. God gave him, who had no sin, to be sin for us. The one man who is also God, God's own Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord brought him down from heaven so that he could lift him up on a cross, so that by the shedding of his blood, the scarlet sins of the world would be washed white as snow. All that history from Eden to Canaan, all of that was to show us the heart of God and his amazing wisdom in sending a Savior for you and me, in sending us the one who would take our place under the punishment and wrath of God over sin, and who would give us his righteousness. All of that was about Christ, about God loving the world and giving his own Son, his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wisdom from the Word is not worldly. It's not long-term planning. Wisdom from the Word is thinking and working and walking toward the eternal things that God has given to us. God the Father and God the Son have sent forth God the Spirit into the world to fill us with the real wisdom and to drive out that worthless wisdom of the world. Just think about the difference that this has made in your lives. While the whole world around us skitters about frantically trying to find some way to cheat death, you know that you have no need to fear it. Because death is not an end for you. You have eternal life. You know that death is not your master, but rather the risen one who has given you life eternal. Set your minds on those things above, on those eternal things. Not for the reward, but because of wisdom. For wisdom's sake. Well, the world hears God, hears the words anyway. And it doesn't believe him, and it flails about looking for something that it can call truth. And all the while it has truth in its hands in the scriptures. Pilate said it for the whole world. He said, "What is truth?" They don't see it. But working in you is that Spirit of God, working in you through word and sacrament, giving you the ability to see what the world cannot. And that is that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God in our salvation. In us, the Spirit makes the word such a beautiful melody that we respond singing to God in our hearts. For his love, we rejoice with hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, and we strive to make fine music. And yet, even in the joyful noise of baptized babies and the tone deaf, it's a fine tune in God's ears, because the notes come from a heart that is filled with his love. One day we will all sing with the angels, and it will be a fine song in heaven above. You know, it's recorded for us in Revelation. It says this: "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." We'll get to sing those with all the angels. So how do we walk in this heavenly wisdom while we're here? Well, the wise walk with Jesus is to faithfully follow him and to imitate him and to do the Father's will with gratitude and thanksgiving for what he's done for us. And this is what the Christian church has been doing since the beginning. There's nothing new here. We gather to listen to the word, true wisdom from above. We gather to hear where Jesus has gone and what he's done for us. We gather to pray and praise and give thanks to the Almighty. We gather to sing and make music unto the Lord. This is the wise walk with Jesus. Not some aimless religious ruminations about what might or might not be true, walking around in a fog. We know the reality of God's love for us. We have seen it in the pages of Scripture. We have seen it on the pages of history. We know the reality of Christ and his body given for us. We know that we are in him, and that he is in us, and that he is bringing us forth to where he is. We know the reality of this body of Christ, and we see the very fact that when he stretches forth the hand of his body into this world to save sinners, we are that hand. Are you walking wisely, fellow redeemed? If you've been searching but not finding, look to the Bible. It's the truth. Jesus said it. Hear it, learn it, read it, take it to heart. It's from God to you. It is wisdom from above. And if you've strayed from that wise way and chased after the wisdomless worldly ways, repent. The Lord will shepherd you back to that path of wisdom. That's why the Lord has gathered us to strengthen us here, to strengthen each other with his word, to preach the wisdom of God in Christ to each other, and to sing to each other from sadness to joy. There are a lot of ways to waste your life. I suspect that every one of us will have regrets when we get to that last day of our earthly life. Good things that we left undone. Foolish things that we did. But since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the scriptures say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is wisdom on the way. This Savior who loved you, he leads you. Listen to him. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.